So good to see you this morning, church. Welcome. Thank you for coming again this morning. And for those online, it's a privilege to have you. So thank you very much for being here as well. It's a privilege to have a mission-minded morning where we have a missionary in our presence with us and to focus again on the great privilege of learning how we, along with him, can help evangelize our world. So let's take a moment just to think about what's going on this morning, to meditate. Turn our attention to the Holy of Holies in the heaven above, and then we'll sing together. Father, you are so good, and it is our privilege to share that goodness with others. You have changed our lives. How? Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to do that this morning, and help us to do that in our lives, Lord, our neighbors or those across the world, whether it's in prayer, whether it's direct conversations, whether it's through our giving, whatever it may be, Lord, may we be responsible for being ones used by you to help others come to know your Savior. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Father, we direct our attention to you. We think about the many places in Scripture that share moments of others sharing the gospel, for others talking about God, the Almighty One, and our responsibility to know him. But you, Lord, have offered a way. You tell us, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And you tell us, Lord, that in the heart of your Son, in Jesus Christ, he had the desire to see us, to go out into the harvest and to share. And we pray, Father, that we would do that. We pray that we would take this responsibility serious in our life. And we pray, God, that it doesn't matter how we feel. We know that you are the one who saved us, and we know that you are the one to move us forward to do this. So help us to share. We thank you, Lord. The saints are gathered here this morning. Thank you for that privilege. We don't take that for granted. Thank you for those that we can minister to here and minister to online. Help us to serve you. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good that you are here. Would you please, once again, if you are able and willing, to stand, and we'll sing the hymn.
Of Christ the King, we give our lives in offering, till all the earth resounds with ceaseless praise to the Son. For the cause of Christ we go, with joy to reap, with faith to sow, as many see and many above every name, for
take a look down at your hands for a minute. You know, God gave these to worship. And for many of us, maybe right now, our hands have been like, oh, I'm kind of bored. Guess what? This next song, they get to clap. All right? So here we go. Don't talk to your hands at home, kids, but for now we are. One, two, here we go. Two, three, four. The child that you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light, that we may see the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath we tell of have broken to our stride. This love and deepest joy with endless life. May the people's praise you. Let the nations be glad. All your blessed thoughts that we may praise. May praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, church.
Let's bow in prayer. Father, we indeed are here this morning to praise your holy name. And we are gathered together also to proclaim that name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice in leaving the glories of heaven to come to this sinful world and to die for sinful man. And we thank you, Father, for that gospel of Jesus Christ, for he was buried and yet did not stay in the grave, but rose again victorious over sin and over death. We thank you that he is that propitiation for our sins. And we thank you, Father, that we can have eternal life through faith in him. And you have given us that responsibility to proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ in our own Jerusalem, in our own Judea and Samaria, and then ultimately to the uttermost parts of the world. And Father, as we think of that this morning and have that special emphasis, we do pray for our missionaries. We ask, Father, that you'd be with them in a very special way this day. And as they proclaim that name of Jesus this morning, I would ask that there would be souls saved through faith likewise. And Father, we thank you that our missionaries have been willing to give of themselves, to go to that place of your calling, to proclaim that holy name. And we just ask that you would encourage them this day. I pray, Father, that you'd keep them safe. I pray that you'd give them wisdom. I pray, Father, that you would protect them from the attacks of Satan, and that they would put on that whole armor of God that they might be able to stand against those attacks. We pray that you would just, in a very special way this morning, comfort and encourage. Father, we do thank you for our time together here this morning. I pray that we'd be faithful as a church in praying for our missionaries and giving financially to their support. We thank you for Doug Combs as he is with us today. I pray, Father, that it would be a special day for us as we hear from him of his ministry. And we thank you that we have that opportunity this morning. Father, we do pray for us as a church also as we have our business meeting this coming Tuesday. I pray that you would give us wisdom in the decisions to be made. May we have unity of thought, unity of mind. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that does indeed give that unity as we surrender ourselves to you. We thank you for Christ, the head of the church. And I pray that we would make every decision based upon his direction, his will, and his guidance. Again, Father, we are grateful for your blessings upon us, and we are here to praise you for those blessings. And even in those times of trials, in those times of perhaps sorrow and heartache, we can give you praise and give you glory because you have everything planned and purposed for that which would bring glory to you. And I pray that that would be ultimately our desire, and that we could, as we've just sung, it would be our desire to live is Christ, and then to die would be gain. And we thank you for that hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Every morning that breaks, there are mercies anew. Every breath that I take is your faithfulness proved. And at the end of each day, when my labors are through, I will sing of your mercy anew. When I fall in a strait, there were mercies anew. For you sought me in love, in my heart you pursued. In the face of my sin, Lord, you never withdrew, so I sing of your mercies anew. And your mercies, they will never end, for
10,000 years they remain, and when this world's beauty has passed away, your mercies will be unchanged. And when the storms swirl and rage, there are mercies anew. In affliction and pain, you will carry me through. And at the end of my days, when your throne fills my view, I will sing of your mercies anew. And your mercies, they will never end. For 10,000 years they remain, and when this world's beauty has passed away, your mercies will be unchanged. Every morning that breaks, there are mercies anew. Every breath that I take, it's your faithfulness proved. And at the end of each day, when my labors are through, I will sing of your mercies anew. I will sing of your mercies anew.
Thank you, Mike. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we welcome you to our service, and we're glad you're here. Please stop by our connection corner in the back of the auditorium here. We have a small gift for you and just want to get to know you better. So if you're a visitor with us this morning, please stop by our connection corner. We're glad you're here. Also, just this reminder, we do have our quarterly business meeting on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So we encourage you to come for our time together at our business meeting on Tuesday. And then I'd ask Richard Clark to come forward, please. If you were here last Sunday, we had the privilege of baptizing Richard last Sunday morning. And then this past Wednesday, we voted him into the church as our newest member. And we want to officially welcome him as our newest member. Richard, great to have you part of our service. Mike, lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Father, for Richard. What a joy it is to welcome him into our membership and to see our church grow. Thank you for his testimony, the testimony he shared with the church body Wednesday night and for his baptism last week. And thank you so much for his love for you. Lord, help us as a church just to carry him and walk with him and grow with him and challenge him and keep him accountable. Help him not to walk toward the sin, but to walk in righteousness. And Lord, for his part, may you use him to help us to do the same. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the bride of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Again, we're glad to have with us Doug and looking forward to hear from him and what God is doing in him and how we can bless him ourselves. Before he does that, let's stand and sing one more hymn. I'll go where you want me to go. And again, this is one of those hymns where let's sing it carefully and thoughtfully and in truth. And if it's not true in our mind and our heart, let's pray through this song. Help me, Lord, to go where you want me to go.
It may not be on the mountain height, nor o'er the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say. Surely somewhere a lonely place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trust in my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me.
Please be seated.
It is our privilege to have Doug Combs with us this morning. He's with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. That is the mission board he's with. But he's here to talk to us about ADVANCE, which is a ministry of Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And so we're glad to have him here. We'll hear more this evening about that ministry of ADVANCE, but it is to encourage national churches in sending their own missionaries and how we can help here in America. So this morning he's going to preach. Tonight he'll present that ministry more fully. And so we encourage you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service. But this morning, Doug, open God's Word to us.
Thank you so much. Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you this morning and to have an opportunity to talk about missions. It is the burden and joy of my heart, and it is something that I have the privilege of doing in many churches here in our country and in many churches around the world. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'm hoping that in this morning that I will communicate what I will be talking about tonight, as one of the verses we'll look at tonight talks about Jesus, his passion for the preaching of the gospel. And I hope that that will be an opportunity for you to hear about an unusual approach to missions. And I certainly want to join in inviting you to come back this evening. Trust that you will do so and give me that opportunity to give you a glimpse into something unusual and yet something that I hope will become common. And so I really trust that you will come back this evening. If you're not able to come back, there is a table in the back, as typical missionaries have, and they have little brochures there that you can pick up and read a little bit about the ministry. If you're not able to return, there's a couple of other things, bookmarks sort of things, and that's about the closest I'll get to a prayer card, but I'll tell you why tonight as you come back this and have the opportunity to hear what is, I believe, an exciting. I have a friend who says to me when he finds something of real interest, he says, that is something. And I'd like to tell you, and it's not because of what I do, it's because of what others do, that what you'll hear about tonight is something. So I invite you to come back and trust that you will do that. This morning, I have a little PowerPoint to run along with what is going on. And it starts with this little phrase that I'm hoping will become likewise a common understanding of missions. My former, he's just retired and given over to another man to lead biblical ministries worldwide. But my former president gave me the opportunity, even encouraged me to stir the pot. You know what stir the pot is? So this morning, in these few introductory moments, I'd like to stir the pot with a couple of phrases that I would just like for you to think about. And especially as you think about missions, as you think about the Great Commission, as you think about the great work that God has left us to do. I want you to kind of go through just a couple, three phrases, and then we'll get into where we're meant to be. The first one is this one: everyone, everywhere. You know, it was never really spoken. I've only seen it written in a couple of books. But I think the way that we have handled missions in the past has been sort of, well, it's summarized in a sentence, the West to the rest. As Western countries have sought to take the gospel around the world, I'd like to see that change to everyone taking responsibility for the Great Commission. Interestingly, I had a Kenyan leader say to me after I presented the opportunity that I will share tonight, he said to me, the idea that we would be the sending church has been hidden to us. It's no longer hidden, as now 70 churches are joining together for the purpose of missions. Another phrase that I would really like to, and have been trying to get across to people, missionaries in particular, is that every missionary goes to someone else's Jerusalem. And we're going to see that in the message this morning as I talk about where I have been and the opportunities that I've had. But I think that there is an urgent need for us to understand missions as sending people from our Jerusalem to someone else's Jerusalem. And when they arrive in that Jerusalem, the purpose for arriving is to challenge them to begin in their Jerusalem and go out to their world. Which leads me to the third thought that I just want to stir a little bit with, and that's this phrase. And you might kind of say, what in the world? Don't send your missionary to do something. Well, I thought that's what it was all about. Let me add to it the rest of the phrase. And the rest of the phrase is, send your missionary to train and assist nationals to do something. Just summarize it with this phrase. There are 7.5 billion people in our world today. And we have a missionary workforce that seems to be shrinking instead of increasing. Those two things are actually moving in the wrong direction from one another. We need to figure out how to get more people involved in the sending of the gospel. And it's going to be less about what we do as missionaries and more about what the national believers we train and assist are going to do as missionaries. All of those things are kind of just a part of what we'll be talking about this evening. And I just really hope that you will take a little bit of time to pause and meditate on those and give them a little bit of thought as you move forward as a church with your missions plan. I want to put in front of you an interesting building. This is an incredible facility. Are you thankful for the facility that you have? I think they were thankful for theirs, but it's a little bit different, isn't it? This little church, built out of sticks, is found in the country of Tanzania. I used to call it Tanzania, and then I heard the Kenyans say Tanzania, so I changed my mind, all right? This little church is found in the country of Tanzania. I had the opportunity to visit that country and to preach in 18 churches over a period of 6 days. It was a great time. I preached a message to them that I am essentially going to share with you, because that's one of the things that I have been expressing as I move from country to country and even within our country. I'm telling you what I tell them. I'm telling them what I'm telling you. And as I had the opportunity to be in that little church there, this little boy was one of my congregation. There was, on that day, there were three little boys sitting over here. There were three elderly ladies sitting over here. There was a pastor sitting behind me, and I was standing beside my interrupter. My interpreter. And that was my congregation in this church. And as I had the opportunity, I opened my Bible to Acts 1:8, and I invite you to do the same. You may not need Acts 1:8 as open in front of you, because I trust that it is so clearly memorized that you know every word, believe every word, practice every word in that verse. But I pump it just to put it in front of you, just in case I try to misquote it. I opened to those three little boys, three elderly ladies, and a preacher. I opened this passage before them, and I read, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." I paused there and said to them, as I now say to you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone, and have received the gift of eternal life. First of all, you say amen. Amen. Second, I hope you recognize that that means that the Holy Spirit lives inside you right now. It is not like the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit would come upon us upon them for a period and then off. David, you remember, said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." We don't ever have to pray that prayer, because the promise was that the Spirit of God would come to be not only with us, but what? In us. This morning, it's a truth, one I just simply want you to acknowledge once again. The Holy Spirit is inside you if you have put your faith in Him. Now, the verse goes on to tell us a little bit about what it is that the Spirit of God wants to do. And it's just easy enough to keep going. "And you shall be witnesses unto me." With the power of the Spirit of God, it is every intention that you would go out and be a witness. And you have the power to do so. Let me take a moment. Let me tell you, I come from a family of 7 boys, no girls. Every time mom bring home a girl, we'd send her home, send her back. Anybody believe that? The truth is probably she tried 7 times to have a girl. My father, I never saw him in church. It dawned on me not that long ago that I actually did not even attend the only time he was in church that I know of, and that was for his funeral. I was 8 years old, and they didn't take me to the funeral. And my mom was left with 7 boys between the ages of 5 and 15. It was not an easy time. But I believe that it was the local church that helped her through those coming years and developed a group of young men, now old, who went forward by the grace of God. My mother, if there's one thing I can say about her, she was a faithful woman. That was the key word. She had this thing that she said, if the doors of the church are open, we will be there. And I appreciated that heritage. Not all my brothers appreciated that, but I appreciated that heritage. One day we were there in church and my family all got out and they got in the car and drove off, and then I walked out the door. They did not even miss me until they got home. My pastor was very kind, took me to and gave me that lunch. And then on the way home, he asked me two questions. As a 12-year-old boy, two questions that I don't think anybody had ever asked. Never looked directly at me. The first one has something like, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? And when I honestly said no, he said the second question, which again, I don't think anybody looked me in the eyes and said, would you like to know? And I said, yes. And I could take you to the very spot. I passed by it just yesterday as I was up in New York State. And I could take you to the very spot where he pulled to the side of the road and shared with me of Jesus Christ. Now that's, I could go on to tell you about all the things God has done since then, but let me stop there. That's my story. That's what happened to me. You know what would be interesting, Pastor? It'd be interesting just to have everybody line up and tell their story. You know, if you have that service, call me, okay? I want to come. Because if you know Jesus Christ, you have a story. What's your story? My question to you right this moment is, what's your story? Where were you? Who was there? What was said? What led you to bow your head and make that most significant decision? But here comes the second question, and the reason I tell you all that. The second question is, and who's the last person you told your story to? Everyone, everywhere. Who's the last person you told your story to? With the power of the Spirit of God, just go tell your story. Just go tell your story. They got a theological question, that's his problem. Okay? Bring them to him. All you have to do is just go tell your story. Maybe it starts with a track. And you leave it in the toilet and run. But just start. 7.5 billion people. America, the largest English-speaking mission field in the world. Just go tell your story. I shared that with these three little boys, three lovely ladies, pastor sitting behind me. I shared that with them, and then I went to what I think is the real purpose of Acts 1:8, and that is to give us our strategy, and pastor's already prayed it. So I know you already know it, but here's the strategy. It says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. As you think about that, church, as you think about the strategy for missions, you find that there it is. And it's exactly what they did. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches in Jerusalem. In Acts 3 through 7, they reach out to Judea. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria. In Acts chapter 13, Paul goes to the world. They followed this strategy to the point. And today, we as disciples are given that same strategy. So here I am talking to these group of you. The church, that little church was close to Magumu. So I used that as my starting point. And I said, from Magumu, let your gospel go out to Serengeti, your district. From Serengeti out to Tanzania, all of Tanzania. And then your commitment to the Great Commission calls you to go outside Tanzania with to every part of the world. No matter where I go today and where I have an opportunity to preach and share this message, all I do is take Jerusalem and move it to that place. So here, let's just go ahead from Tawanda. Let the gospel go out to Pennsylvania. From Pennsylvania out to all the United States, and then the world lies in front of us. And God has been gracious to use us in many ways to follow that strategy. So I'm there in Magumu, three little boys, three elderly ladies, a pastor sitting behind me. You know, I guess maybe you might ask the question, do you really give that whole strategy to three little boys, three elderly ladies, and a and a pastor. I mean, come on. Maybe you just say, hey, listen, do your best in Magumu. God bless you. See you later. You think that's the way it should be handled? In a church of sticks with three little boys, three lovely ladies, and a pastor? Is that the way we should handle this? I tell you, it was not what I did. I gave them the whole thing and challenged three little boys, three lovely ladies, and a pastor to go out and reach their world. Now, you might ask, how's that going to happen? How is that going to happen? I'm glad you asked. Go to Matthew chapter 9. All right, because that's what I did with them. I went to Matthew chapter 9 and shared with them what I thought was a plan for them to be able to reach their world. I remember when our family was in Australia. We were there for 8 years. And in that country, about 2 years into the time I was there, one of the Australian pastors came up to me and he looked me in the eye and he said, "What's the plan?" And that really stirred my heart. I've been following that thought ever since. In any situation, in any circumstance that a missionary enters in, it ought to start with, "What's the plan?" What's the plan? Well, look at verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9. I start there. Verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I suspect that this is a passage that you're very familiar with as well. Let me just comment a little bit on some of this. I started with verse 35, even though I even have a paragraph mark in my Bible. I start with verse 35 because I want to communicate about Jesus that he is not asking you to do something that he himself did not do. It speaks here of how he went and from city to city, place to place, working and preaching and teaching. He was out there doing it. And now calls on you and I to go do the same. Jesus does not ask you to do something that he himself did not do. Verse number 36 is where it really has given me pause, especially as I've had opportunity to travel to 23 countries in the last 20 years. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes," and I know exactly what he's talking about. At his moment in time, there was a host of people who have come to find him and to hear him speak. Can you imagine how not all host of people, how many of those people got 5 minutes of his time? He looked out and he saw the multitudes, and he saw them for what they were. He saw them as it's described here as being those that were fainting and scattered, sheep without a shepherd. You're in the nation of Israel with priests and a temple, and you have no shepherd? Many people in our country today are attending places of worship where they're not hearing anything of the gospel. Sheep without a shepherd. And it moved him. Very first part in any plan, and the one that I gave to these three little boys, three elderly ladies, the pastor sitting behind me, the first thing is you got to see the people. And I ask you, when you leave from this place and you go out to your workplace, to your stores, to your wherever you're headed for, what do you see? Do you see with the eyes of compassion as the Savior saw? I said to those three little boys, three elderly ladies, Pastor said behind me, I say to you, see the people. Sitting on the back of a motorcycle in place, multitudes around. The phrase came to mind, see souls. If you see the people, I said to them then, let it drive you to your knees. Oh God. 7.5 billion people. I have seen multitudes of people who know not the Savior and have little opportunity here. Oh God, send someone and use me in any way you can. Oh God, see the people. Let it drive you to your knees. This is the third thing I said to them. Then stand up and you be the first answer to your prayer. Just go tell your story. But don't stop there, because the passage talks about prayer. In fact, as I was sitting there and I thought, you know, wait a minute. There's three little boys. There's one for Serengeti. There's one for Tanzania. There's one for the uttermost. Ladies, raise these boys up for Jesus. Pour your lives into these three little boys. They could be the answer to your prayer. Pastor, disciple these young men. Bring them up in Jesus and the love of Jesus and for the cause of missions. Raise, that could be the answer. That right there is in your auditorium. Is the potential answer to your prayer. Sitting here in front of me, a church full of people. Is there an answer to your prayers sitting here, or someone that you need to go out and reach and bring them in so that they might go? Three little boys, three elderly ladies, pastor sitting behind me. You know, I sat in each one of those Tanzanian churches, and they were similar, some more, some less. They were similar. I said, is that possible? Is it possible? And every one of those churches, including this one, said, yes, it is possible. Because what do we believe? Everything is possible with our Lord. Every missionary goes to someone else's Jerusalem, and I was there that day. You know, one of the things that I've thought about, and I think about even now coming here to Towanda, came in last night, I'll be gone by tomorrow morning. What opportunity will I have to reach Towanda? I've just simply come to your Jerusalem to challenge you to go reach your world. If it doesn't get done, I'm not going to do it. You're the only ones who can do it. My purpose as I go from place to place is to turn every place into a Jerusalem. Here's your test. It all begins where? I hope you know. It begins in Towanda. When I have the opportunity to challenge everyone, everywhere, when I've had this opportunity, I've concluded with basically three challenges. They come out of my understanding of Acts 1:8, and I just offer them to you this morning. The first one is be an evangelistic church. J just go tell your story. You cannot wait for him to do everything. Cannot wait for an evangelist or two in or amongst your congregation. Everyone has got to get involved. Just go tell your story. And then I said, be a sending church. Who will go? Who will go from Magumu to Serengeti? Which one? Which one will go to Tanzania? Which one will go to some country outside? That challenge I produce and reproduce church after church after church. Be a sending church. And then the third is be a supporting church. And I know that that is something that you're already doing. We're already actively involved. But I want you to come tonight because perhaps there's an additional portion to that answer that you might be interested in getting involved. Be a supporting church. It's been the privilege of mine to share and to put in front of people. If there's someone here that does not have a story yet. We talk about a story. We talk about stories. Today you don't have a story. Perhaps today can be the day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and share what I believe is your burden, your passion for the preaching of the gospel. Pray that in this day we might be stirred to glee from here, seeing the people, filled with compassion, praying for others, getting up from our prayer time to go find somebody to share the message with. Pray that you would just encourage our walk with you and point us to those that can go. And Lord, we pray that your name would be exalted and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be known around our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Doug, for that challenge this morning, and I trust each of us will take up that challenge. In fact, I would ask you even now to just bow your head and ask the Lord, who does he want you to tell your story to this week? Right here in your Jerusalem, there's somebody that needs to hear your story. Who will you tell your story to? So would you just pray and ask the Lord to show you who that person might be, and then also to just ask the Lord, what else does he want you to do? Maybe you can go to outside of the USA. Are you challenged in any way to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world? So just take a moment and bow your head and just ask the Lord to direct your heart into his will. Father, we thank you this morning for this time together. Thank you for your word and the challenge that we have heard. And we recognize, Father, that though perhaps we often pray to give us opportunities to share the gospel, that so many times you give us the opportunities, we just miss them. We don't have our eyes open to those opportunities that you do give to us. And I pray that even this week, we would see those opportunities, we'd take advantage of them. I pray, Father, that you would also not allow any of us to quench the Spirit in any way. But if you would move upon our hearts to go beyond our Jerusalem, that we'd be open to that in our lives in whatever way you would see fit. Help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to demand our own will, our own way. Help us, Father, to be surrendered completely to you, to allow you to accomplish your will in each one of our hearts. Father, it is our prayer that we would be ascending church as we recognize those fields white unto harvest. And I pray, Father, that each one of us would continue to pray that you would send forth laborers into that harvest. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are able to proclaim. And if there's any here this morning or any listening online that they're not sure of their eternal destiny, they're not sure that they have truly been saved and trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray, Father, that they would give us a call or look us up, seek us out, so that we can share with them the truth of your word and the certainty of their own salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. In encouragement to you, if you'd like to talk to us, please seek us out. We'd love to sit down with you and with God's Word and just share with you that which God has said to each one of us from His Word. Let's stand together. God, again, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to be together, to fellowship with one another. Just pray, Father, that even now as we dismiss from this service, that we would seek each other out and encourage one another, that we might stir one another to love and to good works. I pray, Father, for our Sunday school hour to follow. May you be glorified as your word continues to go forth. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.